The Hard Shoulder on News Talk
with Nissan. Let's go the distance by keeping our distance. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Now, let's get back. Micheál Martin, what was your favourite childhood book?
Well, Biggles brought back a lot of memories there. The Enid Blyton series, The Famous Five, the Mystery series.
Yes.
Ryder Rovers.
Right.
And look at sporting kind of heroes and stuff like that.
And right. And always, and of course, you're a teacher yourself.
I was hoping to pull off a Ryder Rover every now and again.
Well, that doesn't happen with Cork people very often, in fairness.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Slow it down now.
All right. We've a lot to get through. Right, I appreciate that we are in a kind of tight-lipped situation about government formation. When I spoke to you most recently on television, you actually gave me the impression, both on and off air, that the time span for government formation could be, in the context of the coronavirus crisis, as late as the summer recess, because the public health management was going to take that length of time. I got the impression since from a number of people that because of the hiatus over the Taoiseach's Senate 11 appointments and the dysfunction of our legislative process, that that had changed. Which is more likely?
Well, I'm not so sure that maybe the impression you garnered was the correct one in terms of the summer recess. But just suffice to say, Ivan, could I just say in the first instance that I just come from a meeting of leaders on the COVID-19 crisis, and I'm very conscious that on the island there are about 115 families now who are mourning the loss of their loved ones, and many extended family members as well, and community who couldn't mourn properly. And that illustrates the impact of COVID-19 on our families and our people across the island. And in terms of the health service itself. So I'm very conscious of that as parties get together to work out a common platform for a new government that can command a majority for the next 5 years. You know, at that meeting today, I think the good news I would just want to share with you, in one sense, even though there are many challenges ahead, I think all of the collective work that's underway in terms of social distancing, in terms of people adhering to the various recommendations, I think is having an impact in flattening the curve. We still have more to do as a country to get that down further, and I think we need to continue with it. Nursing homes are now a significant focus point, over 38 clusters there, and that's an issue that many raised today. But just to say that I think, you know, the challenges remain, and I think not only have we a health emergency, I think we have an economic emergency as well, and a huge issue is facing us, as you know, from the unemployment figures today.
Okay, well, just on that, right, and optimism. And to be honest with you now, I'm going to give you a little bit of harder time than I would if I was speaking to Tony Houlihan or one of our public health experts. In this sense, they're saying that the figure is 3,447 up to last night confirmed cases. The truth is, our testing system is dysfunctional. Despite a lot of promises, the community testing isn't working. We have delays of up to 2 weeks to get results, even after a priority system. So I know of doctors, frontline workers, people actually as patients in hospitals, and their staff don't know, A, if they've got it themselves because they're at home isolating, or if the people they're treating them are actually positive or not. That is pretty dysfunctional.
I agree in terms of the testing, and no one is disagreeing with the fact that the testing is not where it should be, obviously. My comments that I just gave you there were in relation to the efforts that the people are making following the recommendations of the Chief Medical Officer, the restrictions on our personal lifestyles, the level of interactions reduced between people, the self-isolation, social distancing. The only point I was making there is, because people do need to have hope.
But there could be 15,000 cases out there.
What the Deputy Chief Medical Officer said in relation to that is this. Yes, there has to be a proper sustainable testing system put in place. We've been very clear in making that point to government, as have others, and government itself acknowledges that. But through the contact tracing, the number of contacts has reduced from 20 to 3. That's the point. That's what illustrates that the social distancing is working and is having an impact. It needs to continue, is my point. You're absolutely correct that in terms of increasing capacity on testing, getting reagents, getting a proper procurement and supply of reagents, for example, that is central to the processes that we have. And it's very, very frustrating for many, many individuals. But the trend is about down to 10% now in terms of those tested. And that is positive from where it was in terms of.
The reason why again challenging on that is because and listeners are more observant than anyone else. So we had someone text in, a Galway frontline health worker doing 12-hour shifts, saying there are high numbers of people walking around, shopping and roaming around in traffic. It's still at a high rate. We need the army out. Strict ID practices actually enforced. It's a joke. And then someone else
to
actually enforce the restrictions in terms of those put in place right now. And just this reply from your own city of Cork. That essential worker in Galway is spot on. It's the exact same here in Cork City. I'm only here working on the frontline because I have to. There's nothing but people walking around the city, casually driving, getting coffee, no physical distancing, and I'm here putting in 12-hour shifts. It's a joke. Two youths brushed right past me after a shift and sneezed in my face, thinking it was hilarious. I'm furious. So there are people feeling that, you know, while a lot of people are compliant, a lot of people, you know, maybe we're not enforcing it enough.
I think the vast majority of people are compliant, Ivan. I have to say that. I'm in Dublin. Since Monday, I walk in and out to Leinster House. There's no one on Bagot Street. Nobody. You might meet one or two, three people.
It is a ghost town, yeah, absolutely.
Leinster Street, the same. I can walk in and out of Leinster House. I might nod to one or two people, that's it, over the last 2 days.
No, and I'm doing that every day, and I can concur with that.
I think, you know, that is the reality. No, I think in terms of healthcare workers, I think they should be prioritised for testing. It seems to me, if you look at the clusters, Ivan, first of all, over 55, we 55% in Dublin. So Dublin clearly is, I hate using the language that's, you know, epicenter of this, but it's where the majority positive cases seem to be manifesting. And then as a subset of that, there's a significant number of nursing home clusters. And I think there's a priority requirement that we get in underneath that. And that's one of the points I was making, that I think the HSE, with the resources that they have, stretched as they are, need to get in underneath nursing homes along with the public health system. And there were plans outlined that that's on the way, because there are significant outbreaks in nursing homes, from PPE to staffing to public health to infection control. There's clearly an issue there. And I think, you know, if we just continue with what we have, we don't need the army on the streets to enforce this. I think the Gardaí have been out and about engaging with people since Friday. And I think, without question, the vast majority of the people are complying. And I think we need to continue with the spirit. That was you know, we must work together, and we must work collectively. That was the spirit in which I made my earlier comment. I think the testing is an issue.
Okay. In terms of the briefings you're getting, and leaders and health spokesmen are getting, the two absolute horrors of Spain and Italy, just to use two examples, have been ICU beds and ventilators. From what you're hearing, because we sort of have got advance notice a lot of this, and I know, you know, supplies are difficult and so on. Are you satisfied, A, between the flattening of the curve, and in terms of what you're hearing about capacity, City West and so on, that we'll be okay on ICU beds and ventilators, or are you concerned?
I think on current trajectories so far, I think we are okay. Obviously, that remains to be seen, as, you know, no one knows fully and no one can know with any certainty in terms of the prevalence of it out there, given the data and the testing and all of that. The hospitals are quiet outside, you know, in many locations around the country, because many people aren't turning up to emergency. There's over 2,000 beds not utilised across the hospital system at the moment. That is there as spare capacity. There is it the convention centre, and other centres around the country will be opened up as isolation centres or field hospitals, like City West. And City West has opened up, that capacity has been secured. In terms of ventilators, the CEO of the Health Service Executive is talking of a doubling of capacity there. The contract with the private hospitals and the partnership there means more ventilators, more isolated beds. So the time to prepare has been used well by the HSE and its leadership team, I would say, in terms of bed capacity and procurement of ventilators, and by the medical community as well on the ground. Now, there are still issues. There was very significant issues around PPE last week, and that was we were inundated with calls from hospitals and from medics in relation to that issue. And that still is an issue. You know, obviously we have the deal with the contract with China, but that's a rolling contract that will be coming in over the next number of weeks. And so that's an issue that the component parts of testing remains an issue in terms of procuring those, building up the utilization of private labs in industry, for example, I think is something that should happen, university labs and so on like that.
So broadly supportive of the public health measures. What about the economic measures? The job subsidy scheme, the COVID 350 euro a week scheme, does it need to be tweaked? What do you think?
Well, I think obviously by definition, it was a rushed scheme in the sense that it was passed by the Dáil last Thursday week for the measure, and then added to last Thursday. Overall, from a macro point of view, I think it's generally agreed by economists, both national and European level, that we do need to keep the economy afloat, try and keep enterprises afloat, try and maintain a certain degree of income levels for people who have been laid off or who are unemployed. And that's what COVID-19 payment does, along with the wage subsidy to try and keep employees tied to companies that ordinarily are viable but currently have been shut down by the virus and by COVID-19 and the restrictions. And the idea being that we could restart and reboot those more easily by the type of interventions that have been made. And added to that, I would have liked to see more in relation to cash flow supports for businesses and zero rate interest for companies as well. And I think we will need more targeted measures for small to medium-sized companies once the worst of COVID-19 passes. Now, I think the figures that came out today, over 500,000 are now unemployed. So it's a very, very serious situation economically as well. And there's no point in saying otherwise. And also, I think we have to bear in mind some sectors like travel, be it shipping, be it aviation, be it the tourism industry, may take a bit longer than earlier anticipated to rebound, because you know how soon will people flock to international travel again in terms of tourism, for example? How soon will America recover? Europe, which are two big markets. And overall, then, from an Irish perspective, what happens at the European Union level is very important, that strong proposals emerge to use the bailout fund to maybe create a new fund at European level to underpin the sort of higher deficits that inevitably will happen now here as we try and get through COVID-19 economically. And I think suppressing the virus is key to it, because that then enables one to incrementally lift the restrictions and then prioritise certain sectors of the economy, like housing, like the health service, and obviously the climate change agenda as well, to try and use that as an opportunity for economic development on those fronts.
Okay, let's. I wanted to give you a chance to assess all the COVID-related issues. So now let's get to where we're at in terms of government formation. Negotiating teams, situation last night of suggestion that progress has been made, and maybe early next week there might be an agreed programme for government. We've spoken to independents who said it's up to the big parties to come with the document first and then for them to look at it and see if they'll support it. Could you give us some indication of when we might have an indicative government of the Grand Coalition?
Well, first of all, I would like to think that next week we might have complete the formulation of what I would call a framework document between the two parties, identifying the pathway to economic recovery, continuing to cope with COVID-19, but economic recovery that would embrace the priorities of housing, health and climate change. And that then would be a catalyst, that the actual publication of that would be a catalyst for others to engage with a view to joining a government. Because obviously Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael on their own can't command a majority in the Dáil, in the current Dáil. So, but I think we must move from the hypothetical general discussion phase into more focused document and policy platform that might enable others to consider the situation and consider engaging.
But isn't it the case that the Labour Party, the Sock Dems, the Greens have all said no?
Yes, at this juncture, that is the case. We had earlier discussions with the Green Party, which were positive, I thought, and were substantive enough in terms of the range of issues that we covered and the length of time. Then they took a change and took a different position. But I would hope that the putting together of a document in itself would act as a catalyst. I think the independents are correct, and we've met different groups of independents who have said, you know, you do need, the two main parties do need to formulate a framework document embracing the issues that I've outlined to you, and then present that and publish that to get a sharper focus from others in relation to it. And others might then reassess their position. I would hope that others would reassess their position, because we are in a very challenging situation. And in my view, there is an obligation on us to try and help steer the country out of the current crisis and on a pathway to recovery. And it would have to be for 5 years, in my view, because the decisions that are necessary will be tough decisions and challenging decisions, and people can't be doing it on a 6-month basis or a 12-month basis, in my view.
Now, both you and Fine Gael have agreed that it would be an equality government relative to the two parties. But there is only one Taoiseach. We don't have co-Taoiseachs in this country. How will that problem potentially be resolved?
Well, first of all, the full partnership is essential, and it's not just words. It has to be in spirit. It has to be in the nature of the engagement, because everybody pulling together and trusting each other is essential in any government. And I've been part of governments before, and that to me is an essential bedrock upon which a successful government can be built between different parties, not just two. And that remains our position. Our priority is, obviously, to get a document together. I did meet with the Taoiseach, as I said, 3 weeks ago. We had a good discussion on a range of issues. I think we have a general understanding of how things could work out. But that equality of partnership is essential. We're not getting into specifics right now. I think the focus has to be on the document, ideas.
Put it like this. I have in my hand the front page of the Irish Independent where it says, FF's Martin in line to be Taoiseach as Leo concedes. How would you comment on that story from Philip Ryan?
I'm not going to comment on ongoing speculation as to that issue. If that was the case, I'd be commenting every 6 hours. I don't mean that facetiously. I understand the speculation. It's understandable. But I think we have to remain focused on the ideas, on the agenda for change, because it has to be a change agenda. It has to be transformative. I think the crisis presents opportunities for us in housing, for example. We saw the Airbnb lettings drop significantly. There's opportunities there for the state to move in and perhaps accelerate long leases in terms of social housing.
The view has been, because this is a fundamental issue. You know, constitutionally, there is one Taoiseach.
Yes.
And the situation is, a lot of people feel this is an incredible crisis, and that maybe continuity, whatever about you'd normally say about sequencing the larger party or whatever, and there may be tactical advantage in coming later, do you have any view about whether the present incumbents in the hot seat dealing with this situation should continue, or do you think a change would be good there too?
Well, I think basically, first of all political leaders, to be fair, over the last number of weeks have worked well together in terms of the crisis and have allowed in particular and have agreed and adhered to the idea that we should be guided by the advice from the Chief Medical Officer and his team. And that will continue irrespective of what type of government is formed. It has to continue in terms of support and adhering to the advices that one receives and recommends.
No, but see, in a time of crisis, you look for leadership. What is your view?
I'm giving you my view, and also in terms of the Health Service Executive. I think the key unity position across all political parties has been to resource the HSE and resource the health services so as that it's in a capacity to deal with this, and we're all up to speed in relation to what's
going
on.
That's not my question. My question is a very simple one, Micheál. Do you think there should be continuity of the caretaker Taoiseach or not?
But as I said, there's a caretaker government now. I think everybody is up to speed with what's going on. I think in a new government, there will be an element of continuity by definition if it involves Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, by definition. And a new government has to last 5 years. I think there has been a general election, and that result has to be reflected too in the new configuration. But I think the key point is actually the agenda, the actual programme for government in terms of transforming the experience of people in terms of housing, health, climate change, and in terms of how we deal.
I fully accept that. All your policy points, all your agenda points, all your points about equality and so on. It's a kind of yes or no question. Well, do you think that a change of Taoiseach in a rotating context, or just the imminence of the continuity, which would you give greater importance to?
Well, I think what's important is the programme. I've given you the importance, what the priority is. And I've also said that this could be with us for some time, Ivan. This issue.
So it doesn't matter who's
Taoiseach? This issue is not going to go away in one magical day, which, you know, that we'll suddenly declare COVID-19 is over. It won't be over, and there's some evidence now it might continue on a lower level. And the reality is a new government has to be formed between different parties, and that will involve a new government, a new cabinet.
So in the interest of accuracy...
At this particular juncture, Ivan, and you'll be putting all sorts of... I'm not going to accept you putting words into my mouth in any shape or form, but I have identified for you the priorities, and as far as I'm concerned, at this juncture and at this stage, it's early days, our first priority is to agree a joint framework document, and that's where we are in relation to that. And that takes some, that hopefully could be completed next week.
And therefore it's not essential to have continuity of a caretaker teacher.
I didn't say that at all. I said don't be putting words into my mouth, but I'm very clear that we've had a general election as well. There will be new parties coming together, hopefully, in terms of a new government. And there has to be a new government that lasts 5 years. That's the key issue. And they have to work to and implement an agreed programme that would be transformative in its approach, and that would also engineer, if you like, and a program for national recovery, which will be required economically, socially, and also in terms of a different type of health service into the future.
All right. My thanks to Micheál Martin, Fianna Fáil party leader, and perhaps next imminent caretaker Taoiseach, full-time Taoiseach. I don't know. Make up your own mind. The listeners are good at that. Thank you indeed for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk
with Nissan. Together, let's play our part by staying apart. Nissan. Innovation that excites.